So today, it's our privilege to have her as our Class Day speaker. Please join me in welcoming, and on the behalf of 2009, presenting Dean Kagan with this frame.
Well, thank you, everybody. Such a pleasure to be here. The thing about coming last to the podium is that there's all this clutter around, so I'm just going to clear it. Okay. Congratulations, everyone. It's a tremendous privilege to be here today, to come back, and to share this very special day with all of you. You've all worked so hard to be here, to achieve what you have at the law school, and it's a special joy for me that I can come back and share it with you, with this group once again. And I feel very closely attached to this group. I said a few years ago to another class, I said that class was very special to me because we had begun together. We had begun Harvard Law School together, they as students and I as dean. And for a similar reason, I feel very close and very moved by this class because we are finishing together, you as students and again me as dean. So I'll always think of you as my fellow graduates of Harvard Law School. And it's a very special joy to be here. I was actually thinking as I came up this morning, I was thinking, well, why do I feel so happy about this, about coming back to Harvard Law School? And this was a little bit of a mystery to me because I have a fabulous job right now. I mean, it is a tremendous job. So if I could just echo Elizabeth Warren and Ellen Cosgrove about how important it is to love your job, it is really important to love your job. And I love my job. I myself have a three-part test for whether a job is worth doing. So here, everything has to come in three parts if you're a law professor, right? Here's my three-part test. The first is, does the job challenge you intellectually? Does it make you stretch your mind? Does it make you think hard every day? Is it really, really difficult? And is the difficulty about, you know, just how you think through these problems? That's my first part. Now, not everybody has these tests. You can have your own three-part test. But that's my first part. The second question that I ask myself is, do I feel as if I'm contributing something? Do I feel as if I'm making a difference to someone outside myself, making a difference in the world? And the third thing that I ask myself, and it's kind of a function of the first two, and this is really echoing Elizabeth, is can I just not wait to get to work in the morning? And by all those standards, by this three-part test, my current job passes. And yet I was so happy when I got on the plane this morning from Washington, D.C. to come back to Harvard Law School and to participate in this event with all of you. Because notwithstanding that I love my job now, there is not a day that goes by in which I don't miss Harvard Law School. I miss the dynamism and the energy that's associated with this place. I miss the passion for ideas that one finds here, and I miss the commitment to truly making a difference in the world. And of course, these things, they don't emanate from the buildings or the grounds of Harvard Law School. Those things come from the people of Harvard Law School. And so there's not a day that goes by where what I'm really missing is the people of Harvard Law School. And that's the alumni body. You'll soon be part of that astonishing group whom Harold Hope here represents today. And it's the faculty and the staff whom Elizabeth Warren and Ellen Cosgrove are such superlative representatives of. But most of all, I miss the students of Harvard Law School. I used to say when I was dean, you know, sometimes as dean, I mean, not every day is perfect, right? which is in most jobs. Not every day is perfect, and sometimes something goes wrong and you sort of get into a funk. But it was not long after I became dean that I realized that even if the job might send me into a funk once in a while, there was a kind of sure-proof way that the job had of getting me out of a funk. And the way was to just leave my office behind, to shut the door, and to go someplace where there were a lot of students. Because it's the students of Harvard Law School who make this place great. It's the students who provide it with its dynamism and its energy. It's the students who demonstrate every day its passion for ideas. And it's the students who, when they walk into the law school as first years, and I hope and pray when they walk out as graduates, are so committed to making a difference in the world. How many hours was that? 3,000 hours? 300,000 hours? Howell said, of public service. That's an incredible, incredible statistic. And it's maybe the best measure I can give, although it's not the only measure I can give, of how special the students of Harvard Law School, you are. And I miss you. Now, I know that some of you may have thought sometime in this last year or so that you in this class sort of drew the short straw. And Howell mentioned this. I don't think that there's been a class at Harvard Law School for many, many years that has had some of the difficulties that this class has had in terms of jobs and financial security and all of these things. Of course, you're still much more lucky than most people in the world. And the difficulties that you've had don't compare with the difficulties that many people out there are having. And yet, in comparison with some of the classes that have gone before you, you've had a bit of a harder time of it. And you've faced somewhat more constricted choices. But here's the thing, and this is a cliche, but the thing about cliches is often this: cliches become cliches because they're true. And here's one that I think is true, which is that the greatest challenges produce the biggest opportunities. The most difficult times give you the greatest chances. And here are two ways in which I think that that might be true for your class. The first is just that this society today is at an inflection point in so many ways. So many things are up for grabs. So many things are changing. Our economy, our politics. And that means that you can make a difference that is much greater than you can make in normal times. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave a commencement speech in 1932, an even tougher period than exists right now. And this is what he said to a class in 1932. He said, "Yours is not the task of making your way in the world, but the task of remaking the world which you will find before you." And so too of you, that within all this difficulty, there is also incredible potential and promise. And yours is the task of finding that promise by remaking the world. In that project, lawyers are going to play an absolutely pivotal role. And young lawyers are going to play an absolutely pivotal role. And Harvard-trained young lawyers are going to play a pivotal role. So with all these challenges and with whatever difficulties you might be facing, it's true, too, that you will have the ability to participate in simply transformational work that will take full advantage of your abilities. And I hope you get the chance to do that. And some of you, in fact, might look for the chance to do that in ways that you might not have a few years ago. Because, you know, when everything was rolling along smoothly, and you could make the big salaries and even bigger bonuses, It was hard to turn your back on that kind of security and on that kind of those sort of lucrative opportunities, even if you thought that that's not where you wanted to be. It was hard to look for some other things. But what I hope, actually, is that as the bonuses become a little bit less big and as the financial security seems a little bit less than it has in recent years, that it will have this silver lining, that it will have all of you asking yourselves, what direction do I really want to go in? Where do I really want to serve? How can I really make a difference? And what will make me get up every morning with that smile on my face? If I have one frustration with Harvard Law School students, and I've said this to groups of students many times, if I have one frustration with Harvard Law School students is that they don't do enough of what Ellen Cosgrove talked about. They don't do enough taking risks. Or I sometimes think of it not just as taking risks, but just being open to chance and being open to serendipity. When I look at my life, and a lot of people say to me, well, you've had this great legal career, and how did it happen? And the truth of the matter is that nothing in it was planned. There was no step that I said, oh, that's what I'm going to do in X number of years. If I had one talent in the world that's got me this far, as well as all the luck, but if I've had one talent, it's just being open to things happening, to not planning so much, to taking advantage of what comes, to looking for new and exciting and different opportunities. And that's what I hope that all of you will do as well. Not just to follow the tried and true path, if that's not what's making you happy, but to look outside of it and to be open to all kinds of new and exciting and interesting things. Now, I'll give you two more pieces of advice. This is a graduation speech, so here are my two other pieces of advice. The first echoes David Kessler. You know, the thing about coming last after all these people, especially at a graduation ceremony where everybody kind of says the same things, but again, says them because they're true, is that I'll be repeating and have repeated a bunch of things. But here's what David said, and I can't say it again enough. In addition to taking risks, the best piece of advice that I'll give you is make friends along the way and then keep those friends. Now, you've already done that. You know, I actually told you this in my orientation speech when I got up there at Sanders Theater and said to you how you should take advantage of Harvard Law School and what you should do at Harvard Law School. And I said, as much as you can learn from the faculty at Harvard Law School, I said, then you will learn more from the people sitting around you. You will learn more from the students of Harvard Law School. And as Howell talked about what so many of you have done, and I know what so many others of you have done, I know that you've taken advantage of those opportunities. And those opportunities keep giving through life. You know, when I talk to people about sort of how I've landed in the various places that I've landed, and why my career has taken the twists and turns along the way, what I often find is that I'm talking about friends of mine. It's like, well, I knew this person, and I knew that person. Because the thing about life at this point, I mean, this happened a few years ago, but if you didn't notice it, I'll just tell you now. It's not about the grades anymore. It's not about who has the better resume. It's much more about, do people admire you? Do people trust you? Do people like you? And those are the things that make great friends, of course, and they're also the things that build careers. So whichever reason you do it for, and I hope you do it a little bit for both, for the instrumental reasons, but of course for the non-instrumental reasons as well, keep your friends. Keep your friends from Harvard Law School and keep the friends you make throughout life. Your friends and your family provide the joy of life, and there's nothing more important to do. And finally, I'll give you one last piece of advice, which is a little bit odd to say in a law school graduation ceremony. But if there's one talent or one ability that I hope you cultivate in yourself, it's this. And I say this is a little bit odd in a law school graduation ceremony because I think we think often that what we teach you to do at the law school is we teach you to talk. And we teach you Socratic methods to be forceful in articulating your views, to speak in public, to express your opinions cogently and well. But the truth of the matter is, if you come out of this place as talkers, you're going to miss something important in your life. So the most important talent you can cultivate is a talent for listening. Because nobody ever learned anything while they were talking. You only learn something when your ears are open, not when your mouth is open. And when your ears are open to people of all kinds of different background and views. And that's also when and how you create the relationships, you build the bridges, you form the teams out of which almost all great work and great accomplishments come. So cultivate your listening skills. Okay, that's what I learned at Harvard Law School. That's what I learned as Harvard Law School Dean and as a faculty member here, and most importantly, as a student here as well. I'm going to leave you with one last thought. This is my seventh year on this stage. In the last five, I've given the speech tomorrow that Howell will give tomorrow. And for the last several years, because I admit that sometimes I repeated some parts of my graduation speech, for the last several years, there was a point in the speech where I always said the following. I always said that of all the law school classes graduating this year, this law school class, the Harvard Law School class of 09, will have the greatest influence, the greatest power, and the greatest impact on the world. Now, this is very interesting to me because when I used to say that in graduation ceremony, it may have been because of the way I said it, everybody would start to clap. Everybody would sort of applaud, and I would say, wait a minute, don't clap. Don't applaud. There was nothing in what I just said to make you clap. Because what is worthy of applause, of course, it's not that all of you will have all that influence and power and impact, though it is true that you will. What is worthy of applause is whether you'll use all that power and influence and impact for good purposes, to advance the rule of law, to promote justice, to serve people other than yourself, and to enhance human well-being. That's what I hope for you. And knowing you as I do, that's what I expect of you. Fellow graduates of 2009, all my warmest congratulations and all my deepest love.